Australia Remembers, tape number 9. This tape was recorded on the 12th of September 1995 at Tooradin, as was tape number 8, with people from the area of Tooradin and Koorirup. Here we go. It's on there.
And we lived, what, in the wartime you wondered?
Here.
Yeah, we lived in Arsview, across the... across the water there.
Mm-hmm.
During the war we ran it as a guest house, my mother Gloria and I. And Arthur did the outside work. What else? Alan had gone for the war. And what other sort of things did you want?
Were you working? Were you helping your mother?
Yes, we had the guest house, and we used to have the doctors from Alfred Hospital booked it out. So they took the lot of the guest house, and they booked it out every holiday, so no one else could come. But during the war, the pea factory... What was that, Arthur, the pea factory?
Yeah, they used to come... what was the billiard room?
Yeah.
On the weatherboard end. We had it set up
like dormitory with all the workmen, and Mum used to get up and they went to work just after 4 o'clock. So then in the main part of the house the doctors had theirs later on, so we were doing two lots of meals, early one and a later one.
You'd be feeding them at about 3:30 in the morning.
About 4 o'clock, 4:30, they'd have their breakfast. But we'd have their lunches cut, and they'd go up to the, was it Edgell's?
Yeah. Williams's.
Williams's, yeah, Williams's pea factory. And that's where Bob Flynn met Flossie when he was there. And, Mum, she never stopped cooking. She cooked for all the soldiers. They used to be over in the Palladi Dance, which was a little hall near the hotel. And they were stationed there, and she used to, every weekend, she'd make them their scones and rock cakes. And then, as Arthur said, when it was Christmas or Easter, they got their meal cooked and taken over to them at the same as we had. Tavia'd remember a lot of this too, weren't you? No, you, yes, because you'd left then, had you? And my father and Alan, before Alan went in the army, they used to fish, and we'd have the lot of fish cooked, you know, for the meals, because the people, they thought that was marvellous, you know, just to have home fresh cooked. And they'd come and ask, say to Mum, "What? How'd you make that? What was your recipe? Can I have that for this?" And, well, Mum never used a recipe. She made everything out of her head, so it was absolutely... And she used to say, "Oh, it's easy to do. You just put this, and this," you know. And she was an incredible lady. And she was born here, and her father... he was one of the original, you know, settlers. Henry Kernett. And Mum was Hilda Kernett, and she had two brothers, young Henry Kernett, who died at 16 in a shooting accident up in the Clacken, which was on the road going to Louis Stingle's corner, going round the out of the town where Rutter Park is now. And her eldest sister was Evelyn, and she was a Beckham when she married. And then there was Mum, she was Hilda Johnson, and her Lena Coxon, and Jim Kernett was the baby, and Henry Kernett still fishes here, his son. Yes, we're part of the furniture.
And were you doing spotting?
Yes, we all did that. And And I can't remember how long it was open, do you? We were there for hours and hours. We used to do so many hours shift.
3 hour shift. How much was it? 12 I was on.
I can't remember the time.
And then Gwenda used to come on after me.
Yeah, and Gloria and I used to go. And I don't know if we went together. And Mum and Arthur, we all sort of... Were you there? No, you weren't there.
No.
And it was very interesting when you stop and think, because I didn't know a thing about planes, and they used to have all these pictures around, you know. And Mr. Bill Dawson, he sort of was the organiser of that. Mm. You were over there at the same time too, weren't you, Olive, before you went into the Navy?
Oh, she's gone.
Yeah, she used to, well, there was quite a lot. Joyce did it, and Harry Cuxon.
Ted did it.
Ted, yeah, Carl. Look, it's hard to, if all the young people that were too young to go to the services, they all participated and had their shifts worked out. And it used to have the little spotters thing on the top of the hill, and the deer used to run around the paddock because Miss Ross had deer and lyrebirds, and so it was a strange place to be having it, you know. And that hill is now gone. It's at the back of the Golden Fleece. That's where it was. We're still, and Arthur, my brother, he's just renovated Mum's, it was one of the old original homes, you know, over 100-year-old. And he's renovated him and Rose. They've sort of built on a new extension and that it looks exactly like it was to make it. So that would have been nice. And it's like the church. They were the original ones for the Church of England. And it was 1900. Yes, and Frank Evans and Auntie Evelyn, Mum's sister, Evelyn Beckham, not Evelyn Kernan, they were the first two children christened in the church. And Mum was 1903 and she was christened then, and we were all christened in the same church. So, and we were all married there, all our, family in the little church. So it's a very special place. And there remains of them now, in the memorial garden. So it's a very, and the first bazaar that we used to work for, not we didn't, but was in 1903, and it's still going, the annual bazaar. So, that's about 90 odd years old. It's an annual event. And we had, when the war ended, Mum went to, I was in Sydney because I'd just been married in June and Oliver was going overseas. And she went to Melbourne and got hams and carried them around and come home and organised the celebrations. Yeah, so... can you think of anything else, Raj?
She's gone too. My name is Joan Fisher. I was a city girl living at Caulfield when a friend was killed in the war, and I decided I wanted to do something about it. I tried to join the AWAS, but with a hearing problem, I wasn't accepted there. I was working at Anzac House, and when I looked out the window, I saw a tram with a sign, "Join the Land Army." So that was it. They took me in. I went to Werribee for 2 weeks training. They taught you how to milk cows. You got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and that was the first time I'd ever got up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I learned to drive harness up a draft horse, and I drove the cart into Werribee. And then I was posted out to Pewong, the son there had gone to the war and they were short of a girl. There was another Land Army girl there, and the three of us, the daughter of the house, the three of us, we milked, I think it was about 300 cows. We'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, ride bikes down to the dairy, which was a few miles away from the house, and milk these cows and return back to the house, have a bit of breakfast, then go to sleep. And we'd start again at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I worked there till for about 2 months. Then I was posted to Trafalgar. The farmer's wife was having a baby, so I was to help out milking cows there. That wasn't quite such an early time to get up. I met another Land Army girl there, and she's now treasurer of the Land Army Association. That was only a short job there, milking cows. Then I went to Katani, and I worked there for about nearly a year. And after the war, I went back there and worked for them. I liked the land so much. But it was a very rewarding life, you know. If you love the country, of course, you like doing that sort of thing. As I said, after the war was finished, I went back to this place and stayed with the people for nearly a year, where I met my husband and we were married. That's about all. Since then, I've joined the ex-Land Army Association. They're a wonderful group of women, all very friendly, and I marched with them last Anzac Day. Once again, after Anzac Day, the Anzac March, we had a dinner down at the North Melbourne Football Club, and they were all so friendly, really. They're a terrific crowd. It's another reunion coming up next week, and I'm going to go to that one. I've never been sorry that I ever joined the Land Army.
So when you milked the cows, was that with machines? Were you putting them onto machines?
Just machines, yes. Yeah. The old-fashioned type of
it took a lot of handling and...
Yes, it was quite an experience, really. I've seen cows milked before. I used to stay at an uncle's place when I was about 12 to 16, and but he'd never let me touch the cows. But you get into the swing of it all. Actually, I'd like to see a herringbone shed now. I've never been to one to see how they work.
How long was your day? How long would you work?
Heading all of the time.
Oh, you know.
Actually, I brought my book, you know. It would be interesting to know what we were paid and that. It wasn't very much. The rates of pay and hours of work. When employed by a farmer or other employer, it was 30 shillings a week plus keep, or 50 shillings a week, no keep, whichever was the greater. Of course, in those days, nobody got very much money at all working. But, I think my whole employment was a year and 2 months and 7 days. Because I got in at last. I was just 18 when I joined them.
Did the people from head office come down and visit you at all?
Pardon?
Did the people from the head office ever come down and visit you? The people running the Land Army?
No, not really. We just, when you finished a job, you just went back to headquarters. Well, I think the employers told them they didn't want anybody anymore. That was about all, I think.
Right, well, my name is Betty Beasley. And I am a descendant of the Kernets, who were one of the originals of Turriden. My mother was born here in Turriden, and that house now is the historical house on the foreshore. I don't know much of what went on during the war, because we were living in town, but my mother had a little house next door, which I now own. And it was always going to be the place we were going to be taken to if the Japs arrived. I had a brother that went to the Navy. He was the oldest, and then myself, another brother, Leo, younger than me, and another little brother at the age of 4 got polio. So during the war, our main days were going by train out to Austin Hospital to visit Laurie, who lived for 14 years in a respirator. Now, if you don't know what a respirator's like, it's a great big thing in those days, with just like a coffin with your head sticking out of it. And for my brother, he used to always want to hear what was going on outside the world, outside the hospital. And when he was about 14, he got a little bit stronger. And he always had to sleep in the respirator, but my mother said if he was going to die, he was going to die on a full stomach. And Mum, being a wonderful cook that she was, she used to get into trouble with the nurses because she'd take about food and the sisters would say, "Oh, that'll kill him. And Mum would say, "Well, if he's going to die, he's going to die with a full stomach." So as the years went on, she used to ask permission to take him out. "Oh no, you'll kill him. So Mum said, "Well, I'm taking him." So they used to have great big prams, and if anybody can remember polio victims, they used to lay like as though they're on a cross with their arms out like this on the thing. So she used to hire the bed and we'd bring him to Port Melbourne for the day. Take him down, see the boats coming in. Sometimes he'd be lucky enough to see the boys going off to the war. And then she got permission then to hire a respirator. You know, we never ever had a car, but Mum used to hire a picnic van, bring the respirator up. We built the house over the road, built to the sign so that she could get the respirator on the front veranda and the wheelchair, big room like this, a wheelchair pram they called it in those days, into the lounge room. And all the relations used to come and see him, Olive included, and we'd have a big Christmas tree and a present on the tree for everybody. And when he was about a week off of being 19, he died after all those years of struggling. But in the meantime, he'd done a lot of work with the pencil in his mouth, done all his exams with the pencil in his mouth and got good results too. And he died. Life goes on and I got married. I was married for about 5 years and my husband died. We always come to Tooradin. It was like coming home whenever we had holidays. We always come to Tooradin. As kids, we rode our bikes from Dandenong to Tooradin. Sometimes we'd have to dink one another. If we were bringing up a girlfriend or the boys were bringing up a mate, they'd have to dink their mates because they never had bikes. My mother built this bakehouse next door in 1950, roughly. Bob will contradict me.
50?
Oh, right. And I come home to live with my mother and raised my little baby boy there. And then this fella come along and I married him. So I didn't leave Tooradin very long. I went to Cadinia to live. And after 35 years at Cadinia on the farm, Bob sold the farm and said, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "Well, you found me at Tooradin, take me back to Tooradin." So we bought this block of land, come back, and we are living here now and thoroughly enjoying it. We miss our friends from Cadinia, but we always have them popping in for a cuppa and what have you. And Tooradin to me is home because I've got such happy memories of Tooradin. And I think that's about all I can say.
Our auntie worked in the munitions. Auntie Mary worked.
Well, both my mother and our auntie Mary both worked in the ammunitions during the war. And used to work a lot of shift work. My mother sort of more or less had more or less, it was only all families come and went, but different times. One of my mother's sisters died, and she took on her four children and the husband as well, and then they eventually moved out. And another one of Mum's sisters died, Auntie Lily, and she took on their two girls. So although I never had a sister, the house was always full. And just recently they got in touch with the people who worked in the ammunitions, and they were going to try to give an award for the people who worked there. I went along to it to represent my mother, but felt I couldn't fill in any papers because it wasn't me. It was my mother that worked there. One lady, she's said she was 85, and she said, "I remember your face, I used to work with you." No, it was my mother, so somebody could see me mother in me.
Where was the munitions factory?
At Footscray, Gordon Street, Footscray. Mm.
Was that a very big one?
It was a very big one. It was, I think, I suppose it was the main ammunition factory, wasn't it?
I think Bendigo was the biggest.
Was it? Mm. I never knew one. There was one at Bendigo.
But they did make cordite at West Footscray.
That's it.
I made a flash of cordite.